You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, and available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Wednesday, first podcast in a couple of days after I took a bit of a holiday break there. And we've got a lot to cover today on the podcast. This is a happy podcast because the Pelicans are back above 500, a game over. They're 17-16 after wins over the Miami Heat this past Saturday. And then before that, on the first night of a back-to-back, the Orlando Magic taking care of business against bad teams, exactly like they needed to do. So we're going to recap those games for you in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, talk about the defense, what we saw from them, what went on in these games, because these were really good wins for the Pels. These aren't struggle wins or anything like that. So you've got to like that they came out, took care of business against two bad teams. Not bad, I would say, for the Heat, but struggling teams, injury-ridden teams. So they did what they needed to do. We'll talk about that. They're going to preview tonight's game against the Brooklyn Nets. So Pelicans have an easy stretch coming up. These two wins here, Brooklyn tonight. You get the Mavericks on Friday, then taking on the Knicks after that. So good stretch here for the Pelicans. They should go run off a five-game winning streak. We'll talk about kind of what they need to do there. Just catch up on everything we need to when it comes to the Pelicans before going probably back on a break at the beginning of next week again. So probably podcast Wednesday, Thursday, Friday here, and then nothing on Monday or Tuesday of next week as well. So let's just dive right into everything we need to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by Draft and PlayDraft.com. So the Pelicans kicked off their holiday weekend in a pretty smart way. They went to Orlando, which is great because it's sunny and warm down there as opposed to cold everywhere else pretty much. And also because the Orlando Magic are bad and they're missing some of their key players right now as some of these guys are sick. Missing Aaron Gordon, among others, and just kind of have this toothless attack right now. And you've got to feel good if you were the Pelicans going in this as a game to kind of right everything that was wrong with the team, mainly effort on defense, turnovers, because there were no real threats here, and try and avenge a 16-point loss in one of the earlier home games in the season, back towards the end of October when the Magic shot the lights out from the three-point line and lit up the Pelicans that way, kind of with a surprise win on the road there. This Magic team has reverted, though. After being as high as like second or third in the Eastern Conference, they have dropped significantly to just 11 wins. 11-22 is their current record. So not good. The Pelicans taking them on, you know, had a chance here to show, okay, we're in control. This isn't a tailspin that a lot of people kind of saw happening. I had a lot of questions about whether the team should fire Alvin Gentry. What's exactly going on here after that kind of, I think it was a 16-point loss to the Washington Wizards where just nothing went right for the Pelicans and they didn't come out with any effort whatsoever. That was the opposite here against Orlando where the Pelicans did exactly what you would want to see out of this team. They played inside out. You had DeMarcus Cousins working the ball down low. He took 16 shots on the night. Only three of them were from behind the three-point arc. He was 8 of 11 from the free throw line, 26 points, 11 boards. Exactly what you want. Same thing for Davis. Took 14 shot attempts on the night, only one from three. Again, he'd play a little bit higher. If you kind of go like a two-man game with these two, you'd ideally want Cousins down low, Davis up high, and then Davis is going to try and attack when he gets the ball or take that mid-range, which he's good at but has been doing much less so far this season. So he was, of course, shooting well on the night. He didn't get to the free throw line as much, but 20 points, 11 rebounds, kind of a quiet performance from him. But this opened things up for Jrue Holiday. The bigs down low were commanding a lot of attention, which created lanes for him to drive through. 10 of 15 on the night, 3 of 6 from deep, scored 24 points. Not really many assists because he's in that scoring and attack mode, which is exactly what the team has wanted to see out of him this entire season. Don't be a facilitator. Don't think too much. Just go out there and score. And when he gets in that mindset, again, he took more shot attempts than Anthony Davis did and was only one behind DeMarcus Cousins. That's the distribution I think the team really wants to see out of their big three. You had Rondo doing his Rondo thing, chipping in 8 assists, which were all absolutely fantastic. And they just got enough points from everyone else on the roster. Each one more was quiet with 6. Rondo had 6. Darius Miller put in 9. Dante Cunningham had 5. Jameer Nelson had 3. Ian Clark, who we haven't seen much of in the past couple of games, put in 6 and got some serious playing time, a little over 18 minutes. Diallo was in the game, scored 6 points. Part of this is because it was a bit of a blowout, so the Pelicans had a chance to kind of get some guys some burn that they wouldn't normally have seen. But this is exactly what they needed. And I can talk about the offense and things were going well. This team was always going to take advantage. But it was how did they do on the defensive side of the ball that was going to be the question. And they did exactly what you wanted to see on the defensive side of the ball. This Magic team wasn't going to shoot as many threes, particularly with Aaron Gordon and some of the other guys out. And they only took 20 on the night, making just 4 of them because the Pelicans were content to let bad shooters try and take threes. It also helped that this team really tried to play bully ball inside at times and try and run 2 bigs or 3 bigs out there, like Maurice Spates and Nikola Vucevic, along with playing Hezonja at the 4. So they kind of played right into the Pelicans' hands for the bigs to just kind of take care of everything down low and underneath the basket, along with Biombo there. So, you know, like, this wasn't maybe the stiffest test for this Pelicans defense, but we've seen this franchise and this team this year kind of take it easy in games they think they should win and not put forth the effort. But there was effort here to contest shots, to take away shots, to not just kind of stand still and stick your arms out trying to poke the ball away, though there was still a lot of that. But they were actively trying to move their feet and contest things and body up guys. And it just basically, you could see it happening. The Magic only grabbed, you know, a small number of rebounds on the night. The Pelicans beat them there. The Pelicans, you know, forced enough turnovers to kind of get it done with 14. This was all great and, frankly, exactly what they needed to do. Their defensive rating on the night was actually just 95.3. That's in stark contrast to the 107-plus that the team has had all season, 107.3. So it's a difference of, what is that, 12, basically. So per 100 possessions, they allowed 12 fewer points in this game than they do their season average. Tremendous. And you don't just get there by accident, because we've seen this team not try whatsoever and then get lit up. So it helps that, yeah, the Magic weren't shooting great and not playing particularly well and have a weird lineup and everything like that. But again, the Pelicans had to play and they did everything right. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft, draft.com, play draft, whatever version of draft you want, are 80% better than on salary cap sites? And that's why draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros, and it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the draft app too. Again, it's not a salary cap thing where everyone's drafting the same players and picking the same players and you have to rely on those like dollar players and dark horses to kind of get you a win. Here, it's a snake draft. Whoever you draft, you're the only guy that gets him. You want Cousins? You got Cousins. You draft Davis? You've got Davis. No one else can kind of share in on that. So play in a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. And all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code LOCKEDONPELICANS. That's right. Play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOCKEDONPELICANS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pelicans listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. You've got nothing to lose by going to do this. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and play for free right now with the promo code LOCKEDONPELICANS. So the Pelicans stayed in Florida on Saturday and played the second night of a back-to-back against the Miami Heat down there in Miami. And again, put up a very good performance and did exactly what you wanted to see from this team. They had 14 total turnovers, but 5 of those happened right off the bat, really, for the Pelicans, making you wonder if this was going to be a good or bad game. But having 9 the rest of the way from that is actually pretty good for this team and kind of one of those maybe magic numbers being 15 or less turnovers. This was a weird game, though, because while the Pelicans got double-digit performances from all of their big three, it wasn't those guys that really carried them. Anthony Davis was just 5 of 11 on the night, did get to the free throw line more than the other night, 17 points, only 6 rebounds. Cousins was 5 of 7, 16 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, so good night overall from him. Again, 5 turnovers is probably the number for him. That's okay. 5 or less, and you can live with it. It's when he gets 9 and 8 and, you know, 10 maybe. Those are kind of the scary numbers there. Holiday, again, bad shooting night, 5 of 13. You know, you could clearly see that some of these guys had played heavy minutes the night before. 5 of 13, though, 4 assists. Where are his numbers? They're all over the place. 4 assists, 6 rebounds, 13 points. This team got carried by their bench. That was kind of a big question mark. And the reason the Pelicans have been playing an 8-man rotation for a while was they didn't really trust some of these guys. But Etuan Moore was 7 of 12. He only took 2 threes on the night and was trying to score in that lane. His floater is a weapon and something he's been using more often. You saw it a little bit last season, but he's really taken it to another level this year. He knows the paint's crowded with Davis and Cousins, and he doesn't have the driving ability to really get down low and score through traffic. So he pulls up, does the floater, scores. He finished with 15 points on the night. Rondo chipped in with 5 points. Cunningham's still just Dante Cunningham and scored 5. Darius Miller, though, woke up. We haven't had a big game from him in a little bit. Was 3 of 5 from deep on the night, 12 points. But the biggest surprise was Ian Clark, 7 of 11 on the night, 5 of 7 from 3. He showed off that hot hand that he had to start the year. Finished with 19 points. That was a team high for him, and one shy off being a game high if it wasn't for Tyler Johnson of the Heat. And showed he needs to be in this rotation. And I've talked about it on here. Jason Quigley has written about it over at LockedOnPelicans.com. I don't know why this team was playing 8-man rotation and not giving minutes to Ian Clark. Even if he didn't have the trust of the coaching staff, there was no reason not to play him for 10 minutes or so a game instead of giving him DNPs. He showed why he should be getting minutes. He got 20 on the night. The Pelicans played 11 guys in this game. Check Diallo, Charles Cook really got in because it was a blowout at the end. But shoot, I'm cool playing 9 dudes or 10 dudes instead of 8 because, again, those minutes are significant. And this might even get better and get some more rest for the Pels as the season goes on. Maybe when you get Frank Jackson coming back, though I don't think he's going to play much. Tony Allen will come back at some point. And then the big one being Solomon Hill, who should, once he's fully healthy, I think he's going to basically be on like a 15-minute per game at most minutes restriction. But after that, might start to see it creep up and could be very useful in the playoffs. But as we talked about, talking about the Magic game, the biggest thing here was going to be how did they do defensively against the Miami Heat. And for the second night in a row, defensively, they did exactly what you wanted to see out of this Pelicans team. They were engaged defensively, more so DeMarcus Cousins than anyone else, showing that when he really wants to try, he's not the most amazing defender, but he's still pretty good. He wasn't just, again, sticking his arms out, trying to swipe at guys passing him. He was trying to get in the way, trying to take charges, trying to alter shots, different things like that. The Pelicans were switching again like they wanted to do. You saw Drew Holiday fronting big men pretty well on the night. He did very well when switched on to guys like Kelly Olynyk on the night with a steal off of him. You saw just smart basketball, which at times you don't get. Engaged defense, this team can be scary when they're trying their hardest, and it's disappointing that we haven't seen this through a stretch. And after the reset I'm about to do, I'm going to talk a little bit about maybe what kind of caused this, because defensively, they do look like a different team right now over these past two games. Maybe it's the opponent. You know, no Whiteside for the Heat is certainly a good thing for the Pelicans. Dragic hasn't been playing particularly well as of late. He had 13 points on the night. It was 5 of 15. You know, when you're relying on Wayne Ellington to be your deep threat, who was 3 of 10 on the night, you're not going to win a whole lot of games. I like this Heat roster, but it's kind of weird. Like, Josh Richardson's like 6-man. Kelly Olynyk, 6-man. Tyler Johnson, 6-man. Dragic is a starter. Wayne Ellington, 6-man. You know, it's just filled with 6 men, basically, and they're all starters. And, again, they got overpowered by a better Pelicans team who did as they should. Pelicans on the night had a 101.5 defensive rating, down from their 107.3 season average. So exactly what you want to see. Pelicans also played more inside-out basketball than they have been. Again, look at the numbers for the bigs here. Cousins only took two threes. Davis only took one. They're focused more on trying to get inside, bruise a little bit, and score that way. Davis had eight free throw attempts after just having one in the previous game. This team's playing how you would want them to do it. The question is, can they keep it going, or is this kind of just a result of playing bad teams? And if it is just a result of playing bad teams, that's still okay because they haven't always done this against bad teams. They haven't played engaged defense. They haven't played inside out and tried to play bully ball and use their strengths, to their advantage. So it's nice to see all of that. And after the reset coming up right here, I'm going to talk about maybe what's changed this because we got some insight to it at practice yesterday. By the way, don't forget to check out LockedOnPelicans.com. Got a lot of content up there this week. We'll be coming to you throughout the new year and the rest of the NBA season, the companion site to the podcast. Get insight and hear some different voices that you're not getting anywhere else, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So make sure you check out LockedOnPelicans.com. So what's changed recently, and why has this defensive effort over these past two games, admittedly against inferior competition, changed? And what's been going on there? And Rajon Rondo gave a little bit of insight to it and what happened at practice yesterday, saying that a lot of the defensive effort recently he chalked up to a very good and intense practice they had in Orlando last week. Said it was fun, upbeat, they switched up their teams a little bit, and there were a number of potentially flagrant fouls that were not called in practice. So you can imagine how physical it was. And it seems it just kind of woke the team up a little bit and allowed them to get to what they want to do defensively, which is switching, but also defending the paint and protecting that and then moving outside to try and close out quicker on shooters. Protect the inside where the most efficient shots are, and then try and close out on the three-point line. We've seen this team, kind of use that to start the year, get away from it as teams were bombing away from three more recently in the past half of the season played so far. But they look to try and contain the dribble first, because with dribble penetration, you get a guy going into the lane, the defense kind of collapses on him right there, and then it's a kick out to wide open shooters. And maybe that is why some of these teams have been bombing it away from three. It starts somewhere else, not just that the Pelicans don't defend the three-point line. So Rondo said he's out there looking to contain the dribble a little bit earlier to pick up the man with the ball and put a little bit more pressure on them to slow down their drive into the lane. And this is what, again, the team has tried to do all season long, and it's kind of been breaking down, but maybe it just took these guys looking at some film, Rondo stepping it up in practice, everyone stepping it up in practice, seeing that it works in practice, and then trying to translate that to the court. You don't really get a lot of intense practices if you're an NBA team during the season. One, you don't want to push guys through things like that. Think of all those Tom Thibodeau things that everyone just hates, 3-hour grueling practices on the regular. But here, maybe it was something they needed, and good on the coaches for letting this happen, letting them play through it, mixing up the team so they don't just kind of know the tendencies of the guy they're assigned to guard and kind of take it easy. Here, they must have mixed it up. Whatever it did, it changed and did everything right, and I'm really happy to hear it. Now, again, will this continue over these three upcoming games where you get the Nets, the Mavericks, the Knicks, who are a bit surprising good, but not fully a good team just yet? And if you can do it over a five-game stretch and win those games, that's when I think you'll get people to really buy in and believe. Again, as I'd said, these past two wins over the Magic and Heat are against inferior opponents. But the Pelicans haven't always played that well against inferior opponents. Think about the Kings game, other games that they've had where they needed to come back or they simply lost because of effort. At least they're showing the effort against teams they should beat. That is an improvement in and of itself. We got another game coming up. I'm not going to preview this Nets game. They're the Nets. They're bad. I think they're 12-20. We don't need to dive too much into that. If bad things happen, then we'll talk about it. And if good things happen, we'll talk about that too, because you want to see some consistency from this team. Curious though, are they going to keep going with an 11-man rotation, a 10-man rotation, as opposed to that 8? I think that helps too. You can see in these past number of games, partially it's due to blowouts, but the bigs and the other guys aren't playing as many heavy minutes as they have in the past. 10 minutes here or there can be 5 minutes of rest for one or two guys. That's a big deal when it comes to games and being healthy and not healthy, rested down the stretch to be able to close out fourth quarters and not give up big leads because you have tired legs, your shots are missing. You need a balanced approach. We've seen it in the past two games from the Pelicans. We saw it in particular against the Heat. Hopefully, they're going to be able to keep it up against the New Jersey Nets. They're not even the New Jersey Nets. They're the Brooklyn Nets tonight. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the Nets game, preview the Dallas game, talk about a couple of different topics we like to do here. This week's kind of weird with missing Monday and Tuesday. And again, probably no podcast Monday or Tuesday of next week as well. We'll take a look around the NBA, kind of look at the standings, maybe talk about some of the bigger storylines, keep talking about the Pelicans, what we want to see out of this team, what they've been doing. Want to talk a little bit about transition defense some more, a couple of other things with that. So we'll talk about all that and more in tomorrow's edition, and as well as recap the game here on Locked On Pelicans. So as always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.